We are continuing in the letter of 1 John. We're going to be looking at 1 John 2:15-27. So if you'd like to turn the Bible that you brought or the Bible that's in the pew in front of you to 1 John 2:15, you're welcome to do so. Encouraged to do so. I'll have the words on screen also. Well, the name of the writer is in the title of the book. This is written by John. The John that we're talking about is the Apostle John. And by the time the Apostle John wrote these letters, he was an old man. Some people think that he might have even been in his 90s at this point. And some believe that perhaps all of the other apostles have already died. And he, at this point, might have been the last apostle alive. He was an incredible man. We know that he was an eyewitness. This is the Apostle John, who was called by Jesus along the Sea of Galilee. This is the Apostle John who was next to Jesus at the Last Supper. This was the Apostle John who stood below the cross and who Jesus appointed to take care of his mother. This Apostle John, he saw the empty tomb. This Apostle John, he witnessed the resurrected Jesus. And the Apostle John, he was there when Jesus ascended into heaven. He saw it all. And he knows the truth. His letter is meant to be assurance and guidance for the early church. In the early church, there were false teachers that were rising up among them, trying to teach a different message than the message of the truth, the eyewitness message, the message of the apostles. What actually happened, who Jesus actually is. And for John, this is a big deal. How about for you? Do you think that false teaching is a big deal? There are false teachers out there today. This is not something that just stayed in the past, but every generation has had to deal with false teachers. These false teachers will align themselves with the most popular social trends. They will tell you what you want to hear. They will let you know that if you just give them a little bit more money, if you just send a little bit more cash, and you pray just a little bit harder, you are going to have all of the health and wealth and prosperity that you desire. They're going to tell you that Jesus is a good way, but there are other ways too to God. And you're going to find them, these false teachers. You're going to find them on TV. You're going to find them on YouTube. You're going to find them on social media. And you're even going to find them in the church. That's the case that John is dealing with in his churches, false teachers. The Apostle John lets his people know that this is a great danger to them. There are souls at stake. If you get Jesus wrong, you don't have Jesus at all. It really matters. I don't know about you, but I try to steer clear of worldly content. And believe me, it comes. You turn the TV on and you find worldly content. But are you as discerning when it comes to Christian content? Are you as discerning when it comes to Christian content? It matters what people preach and teach. Today we're going to look at three different chunks of Scripture. And today we're going to start off with prayer. And we're going to look at 1 John 2:15-17. It'll be the first chunk. So, Let's pray, and then we'll have reading of those few verses in 1 John. Gracious God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that everything we need to know about your son Jesus is found within the pages of this awesome and holy book. There is no secret hidden knowledge. There is no more that we need to know about any of this. Lord, you spell it out plainly for us here, and we thank you for that. Help us to stick with the eyewitness testimony that we receive from you and others here in your holy word. We ask for help with this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this is 15 to 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. John here is addressing the Christian life. We all know that there is tension in the Christian life. We know that we can be drawn into sin. We know that there's temptation of sin out there. We know that Satan is trying to tempt us to walk away from our love of God and put our focus on love of the world. But we have good news. As real deal Christians, we have received the Holy Spirit. We have been renewed. And because we have the Holy Spirit sent to us by the Father and the Son, because we have the Holy Spirit living in us, we can resist sin. We can resist the devil. We're not stuck in sin like we once were before we had Jesus. Now, we have Jesus. He's given us the Spirit, and we have power against Satan. So John's wisdom here, he tells us, here's what you need to do. Your Christian life. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Well, what is John talking about here when he talks about the world? Should we be against everything in the world? Never enjoying the lake or fishing or swimming or any of these kinds of things? No. That's not what it's about. God is the creator of all of this, and he called it good. Well, what is the world to John? Well, the world that he's talking about here are the evil world systems. All of those things in our world that are opposed to God. Everything out there that will lure us away from God. We're talking about attitudes, we're talking about values, we're talking about social trends, we're talking about anything out there that leads us away from God. Those are the worldly things. And what John is asking, he says, you know what, don't get taken up by it. What are those things that catch you up time and time again? Walk away from those. Lean into Jesus. Rely on the power of the Spirit that is in you. Anything out there that's pulling you away, anything that you want to live and die by that isn't God, those are the things that you need to walk away from. John continues, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Apostle John is very black and white in his old age. Very black and white. And if you go back and look at Jesus' teaching, he is very black and white too. You cannot have two masters. You'll either love one or hate the other. Talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount. You cannot have two masters. You can't love the world and love Jesus at the same time. You can only have one master. And you need to choose Christ. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. Desires are not always bad. We can have good desires. We can have a desire to serve God. We can have a desire to love God. We can have a strong desire for his word, a strong desire to pray. But worldly desires are bad, and we're called to stay away from those. And we have a list of three here that John points out. Number one, the cravings of sinful man. These are the desires of the flesh. And we could make a list, but it would be too long for this whole morning. We could add all kinds of things into there, like materialism, recklessly looking for happiness and pleasure in all kinds of different ways. Drunkenness, being the life of the party, being liked, popularity, all of these different things. This list could be too long, the desires of the flesh. These are anything that we get caught up in, idolizing the things of the world. And we can ask ourselves, as John invites us to walk away from the things of this world, we can do some self-reflection and we can say, you know what? What do I idolize? What pulls me away from love for the Father? What are those things that trip me up time and time and time again? And because the Holy Spirit lives in us, we have the power to walk away. We have the power to walk away. So number one was the cravings of sinful man. The second thing that John points out, the lust of his eyes. The lust of his eyes. I had an email that came across my phone while I was getting this sermon ready today. It was from Cabela's. You know what Cabela's told me this morning? I didn't open it. I just saw the line, the subject line. You know what it said? It says, "My perfect boat awaits." My perfect boat awaits. It's all it says. My perfect boat awaits. Advertisers know all about the lust of our eyes. Facebook knows all about the lust of our eyes. All the social media companies, they know about the lust of our eyes. They know about those things that will catch our eye. And once they know, they will make sure to tweak their algorithms to make sure that their programming is set up so that you find yourself drooling over the things of the world that pull you away from God. I don't know if any of you watched old cartoons, but there's one cartoon that sticks out in my mind. I don't remember if it was a Looney Tune or what it was, but I remember the cartoon. He sees something that he desires, and then it's like he's like ooga, and his eyes pop out, and that's what the advertisers want you to do. That's what they're going for. That's the lust of our eyes that the Apostle John's talking about here. So number one, cravings of sinful man. Number two, lust of his eyes. And number three, pride in possessions. Pride in possessions. Oh, I'm a country clubber. Oh, I have that brand new pickup truck. Everybody look at me. Or look at me, I'm a homeowner. Is owning stuff bad? No. No, owning stuff isn't bad, but being puffed up because of them is. If it's all about, look at me, I'm so great, that's what John's talking about here, pride in possessions, pride in the things that we have. And this can also be pride in the things that we do. Oh, look at me and the position that I'm in. Or look at this and look what I've accomplished. You know, my wife and I have talked about this. I think I could get tripped up pretty easy with this one. If I were to buy one of those, have you seen those new Tesla Cybertrucks? Those real boxy, ugly-looking things? I don't think that I really like it. And I don't think that I'd want an electric vehicle. But you know what? If you had one of those Cybertrucks, do you know how many people would come up and talk to you? Absolutely everywhere you stopped? A ton. Be a ton of people. I would buy one of these just so people would come up and talk to me. That's pride in possessions, right? Well, John tells us we need to fight these things. We need to walk away from all of these worldly things. Why? Well, he lets us know the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. The worldly systems, all of the worldliness, it's a sinking ship. Like the Titanic, it's going to go down. The iceberg is in the horizon, and it is a sinking ship. I don't know if you've seen the movie Back to the Future, but the picture I get in my mind is, Marty McFly, he's got a picture of his family, and things are going a bad way, and all of his family members are disappearing out of that Polaroid photo. That's our world, and that's the worldliness. It's fading away, and there's going to reach a day, the last day, when all of the worldliness, all of these worldly systems, they're going to come to an end. The last day, on Judgment Day, when Jesus returns again. And only those who are lined up with Jesus, with God's will have eternal life. There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. It's all of what we see now is going to be renewed. So John invites us, stay away from worldliness. All of those things that are out there to pull you away from God. All right, we're moving on to our second chunk. This is 18 to 23. 18 to 23. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. We've heard the phrase, dear children, earlier in this letter, and we've established that John is an old man. All of the people in his churches now are like children to him. So he calls them that, dear children. He is the wise, old, mature Christian in their midst who cares for the people that God has put under his care. So he loves them. Dear children, this is the last hour. Well, what is the last hour? The last hour is the time between the first and second coming of Jesus. How long is it going to be? They didn't know, and we don't know. But we must be ready. Every generation has had to be ready. Because we're in the time in between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. The Antichrist is on the way. The Antichrist is associated with Jesus' second coming. And the Antichrist, he will bring a false message. He is a false Messiah. He is a fake substitute for Jesus. He is against God. And he is going to come talking a good talk. He's going to have great skills. He's going to sound so good to people's ears. And he is going to sound so very religious and so very good. People are going to be convinced by the Antichrist, and these people are going to be led astray. This is going to come when we get near the end, when Jesus returns. This Antichrist, he is the lawless one. He is the beast mentioned in Revelation. He is the son of destruction. And he is coming. When? We don't know. There's been all kinds of ideas in Christian history about who the Antichrist is and whether or not he's here. But we know that he's coming. And when he comes, it's going to be real close to when Jesus returns. Now, also, in that same spirit, during John's time, there were antichrists. These weren't the antichrist. These were lesser antichrists. And they have come. And I am pretty sure that John, he has real people in mind that he knows. Real people that he knows. These were real antichrists, real false prophets, real false teachers that were in his churches. And he's letting his people know that they need to beware. They need to recognize and watch out for these antichrists, these false teachers that were with them. In our day too, we need to have our eyes open. We need to be ready. There are whole denominations out there with false doctrines. There are whole groups of Christians out there preaching words that straight up deny Jesus and who he is. And this happens in so many different ways. And these false teachers, like I said, you can find them on TV. You can find them on social media, on your phones. You can find them on the radio, and you can even find them in Christian bookstores. And right in our churches, too. Right in our churches. False prophets can rise up. John lets his people know in verse 19, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. They came in, they tried to fleece the flock, then left. They were wolves in sheep's clothing. The reason they left was because their faith was not genuine. If they were real deal Christians, real deal believers, they would have kept the fellowship and they would have stayed in line with the apostles' teachings. They would have stayed in line. They would have stayed with the way. But since they left, it's an indication that they don't really know the truth. This is a tough thing for us when we think about people that we like, people that we love, that have left the fellowship, who now maybe have different ideas about who Jesus is. Sometimes this is even in our own families. And it's hard. We want them to know the truth, but if they knew the truth, if they were really in line with Jesus, if they had union with Christ, they would know that the apostles' teachings are the truth, and they would have stayed with us. This is what happened at John's churches. But in verse 20, he reminds all of the Christians in his churches, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth." Real deal believers have the Holy Spirit. This is a miracle. It's a miracle that we have the Holy Spirit living in our hearts. This is amazing. This is wonderful. It is a miracle. And the Holy Spirit is not just passive with us, but the Holy Spirit in our hearts, you know what the Holy Spirit does? Leads us to all truth. It's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit leads us to all truth. The Holy Spirit shows us the truth of the kingdom of God. The Word tells us the truth. The Holy Spirit leads us to the truth. If we read over these words and the Holy Spirit wasn't with us, these would not make sense to us. It would be an intellectual exercise. But because we have the Holy Spirit, God's Word makes sense. This is what the Holy Spirit does in our hearts. And we have been given the Holy Spirit. That's why we stay with the truth of God's Word, with the apostles' teaching, with the eyewitness testimony. We have been given the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us what we need so that we can sniff out doctrinal error. So we can see false prophets. The Holy Spirit guides us with that. If you're listening to somebody on the radio and you're thinking, that thing they just said just hits me a little bit the wrong way. I don't know if that's really in line with what Jesus has in store for us. I don't know if that really speaks the truth about Jesus. That could very well be the Holy Spirit working in your heart to show you the way. That what they're saying is it's just a little off. It's not right. Put some trust in that. You might not have a college education. You might not have been seminary trained, but you have the Holy Spirit who leads you to all truth. It's not a degree. It's not a master's of divinity that leads you to all truth. It's the Holy Spirit working in you. Trust in it. Trust in God. Trust in the Holy Spirit in you. You know the truth. That all who really know Jesus turn, repent, put their trust in Him, and live in accordance with His will and His ways. John's church, they know the truth. You, empowered with the Holy Spirit, you know the truth. And you can discern the truth. Verse 21, "I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth." The Antichrist, the false teachers at John's church, they're trying to tell the people that they have something missing, that there's some secret knowledge that only they can tell them about. That's the kind of stuff that was happening over at John's church. But don't fall for it. You have the Holy Spirit. There's no need for extra revelation from God. You're not missing anything. You have the plain truth of Jesus. Take assurance in that you have what it takes. Because you've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the truth of the Word. You don't need anything outside of that. John continues, "Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son." Like I said, the false teachers, they're going to be good. These Antichrists that come in the spirit of the Antichrist, they are going to be good. They are going to be skilled preachers and teachers. But you have to pay attention to their words, because they're going to have different meanings for words. They're going to have different meanings. It's going to be a distortion. Things are going to be off base. They're going to highlight the wrong things, and they're going to neglect other things. Some of the big words that we have, like sin and repentance and all these, they're going to use all of those, but they're going to apply a different meaning that is off base. Why do they do this? Why do they lie? Just send them a little more money. Things are going to be great. You just empty your pocketbook and fill up their coffers. They're all about themselves. It's not about the Word. It's not about Jesus. It's about themselves. Verse 23, no one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Like I said, John is black and white. There is no other path. The only way to the Father is with Jesus. Jesus is the only way for salvation. Many will call themselves Christians. They are not. I heard it said this week that new truths are always just old heresies. New truths are always just old heresies. And there are dire consequences. We're called to stick with the apostles' teachings, guided by the Holy Spirit, discerning faithfully and biblically the truth of God's word, and we are called to watch out for Antichrist. All right, let's look at our last chunk here. This is 24 to 27. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, Just as it has taught you, remain in him. When it comes to walking away from worldly things, when it comes to watching out for antichrists and false teachers among you, you have some responsibility in this too. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit that's going to lead you to all truth, but you have some responsibility. Number one, study your Bible. Study your Bible. Know the Word. You have the Holy Spirit, right? Well, the Holy Spirit will guide you. Maybe you've been convinced by Satan, convinced by the devil that you don't have what it takes to really understand all of this, to really be able to read it all, to be able to go through chapter after chapter after chapter, and you think, I don't have what it takes. That's Satan, and you're buying into his lies. You have the Holy Spirit. You have what it takes to learn the Word. Think about some of those men and women in your lives that just knew so much about the Word. Well, they knew that because they relied on the Holy Spirit. Likewise, rely on the Holy Spirit, take some responsibility, and come to know the Word of God in a deep, deep way. So number one, study your Bible. Number two, listen to sound teachers. Listen to teachers, not just the things that you want to hear, but the full gospel, the whole truth, all of it, with preachers that are not afraid to speak all of what's in here. And make sure that you don't just listen to entertaining pastors. Not just entertaining pastors, but pastors that are willing to preach the truth. So study your Bible, listen to sound teachers. Number three, get it down deep. Memorize. Memorize the Word of God. It could just be one verse. Just one verse. Get started with that. Again, you have the Holy Spirit. You have what it takes. Don't let don't let Satan try to tell you you're no good at memorizing things. You've got the Holy One, the anointing of the Holy Spirit in you. With the Holy Spirit in you, can you memorize Scripture? Yes, you can. You can also remember the stories that you find in Scripture. You can remember Jesus' teachings. And you can hold on to them in your heart. You have what it takes. So study your Bible, listen to sound teachers, get it down deep. And number four, talk about it. Talk about the Word of God. Tell people in your life what you are reading. Tell them what you are excited about in God's Word. Tell them what you're studying. Have conversations about the Word of God. And John continues in verse 25, and this is what he promised us, even eternal life. Abide in Jesus by abiding in the truth. Remain in him, for it's in Christ alone that we have eternal life. John continues in 26, I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. Again, don't let the false teachers lead you away from your love for the Father and from the truth. Don't let them target you with the cravings of the flesh, with the lust of the eyes, or with the pride of possessions. Don't let them do it. Lean into Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. And finally, verse 27. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Now, is John letting them know that there's no need for any kind of teaching at all? I don't think so, because John himself is teaching them with this letter. And what about the real spiritual gifts that God gives of teaching and preaching? It's not that they have no need for any teaching. I think John's point here is that they don't need the false teachings of the Antichrist. They don't need the secret knowledge that they are trying to bring them. The secret knowledge that denies the virgin birth, that denies the sinless life of Jesus, that denies the real atoning sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for our sins, the secret knowledge that denies the deity of Jesus, that he is really God among us, and the teaching that they bring that denies the real resurrection of Jesus. John's point, you don't need the false teachings of the Antichrist. Stay away when they tell you how to prosper, when they try to stroke your ego, when they try to tickle your ear. They are simply gathering up a following and money. That's what they're after. We have the plain truth of the Word of God. We have the eyewitness testimony of the apostles. with the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we can abide in the Word and we can abide in Jesus. When I do a funeral, I don't hold anything back when it comes to the gospel of Jesus. There's a stark reality. A stark reality. We are all going to face the end. And for each of us, it's going to be a casket, an urn, or Jesus' return. A casket, an urn, or Jesus' return. One of those things. And we must be ready. John lets us know we are in the last hour. The kingdom of God is near. The world and its desires are passing away. And we are called to stand firm in the name of Jesus, to watch out for Antichrist, to take responsibility for the Word of God, and to actively engage in the truth. And as we're reminded over and over and over again, we have been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Holy Spirit. What a miracle, what a blessing that the Holy One, we've been anointed with the Holy One. This is how we come to know Jesus. This is how we come to know the truth. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank you for the tremendous anointing that we have of the Holy Spirit. Lord, on our own, we know that we would be sunk without you. But Lord, you have shown us your will, you've shown us your ways, and you've revealed to us your wonderful kingdom. And Lord, may your kingdom come. May your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen.